Hi, this is Dr. Stephen Jones, and today I want to talk about creative ways to pay for an expensive college. Now, you know, these days, the cost of college is expensive. It can be anywhere between $25,000 to $85,000 a year. So that's a lot of money to have to put out for 4 years of college. We're not talking about if it's $80,000 a year, then that's 4 years, and that's, man, what's that, $32,000 to $320,000. So it is crazy, the cost of college today. And I think a lot of it starts from the very beginning when you have that child and you think about how am I going to pay for this? And there are these 529 plans that you can start putting money away. It doesn't have to be a large amount, but it has to be something every month that you're putting away toward your child's college expense. And I just have no idea of how expensive college is going to be within the next 18 years. But I know right now it's amazing, the cost of college, and salaries kind of don't match with what the cost of college is. So the best thing to do is to have a plan. What is your strategy? What can you do to ensure that you'll be able to pay for the entire 4 years of college? Or what are the best options for you and your family? So those are discussions to have early on. Don't wait until high school to start having these discussions. These are things to start discussing, you know, middle school, high school. Have those open door conversations about, you know, how you're going to pay for this. So one of the strategies that I want to just share with everybody is that when you do get your financial aid report from the school that your child has applied to, you also can write an appeal letter if you feel that they haven't sufficiently provided the aid that you need. And that appeal letter can spell out, you know, what your challenges are financially as it relates to finding even, sometimes even getting loans can be difficult for some families. So knowing that you can't, or that's going to be an ongoing challenge for you, be real clear in that appeal letter. And you also need to make sure that whatever they provide for you is going to last for the 4 years. They may give you enough for that first year in your appeal letter, but you might end up having to write appeal letter after appeal letter, knowing that you just don't have enough money. So just be real clear on that. Another thing that you could do is within the departments, you know, at our University of Villanova University, we have nursing, we have engineering, we have liberal arts, so business and accounting. So those departments have their own dean's offices, and some of those offices might offer their own specific scholarships for students or merit scholarships for students. So that's a place to investigate. It's worth asking the question. You never know when that department had a scholarship offered to a student and maybe the student rejected it. So now the money is available, but at least you can ask the question, and maybe a specific faculty member has a research grant and they're looking for undergraduate students to work on that research grant. So that could be a great opportunity for your student to step in and take advantage of that money that's available. And a lot of these research projects are definitely for the 4 years that your son or daughter is actually in college. You want to investigate scholarships offered specifically by the financial aid office at the college where your child has applied, and make sure that you meet all the deadlines. I found students have missed out on thousands upon thousands of dollars just because they missed the deadline of the specific college that they've applied to. So you need to kind of basically create an outline. Let's say you've applied to five colleges. You go to their financial aid website, you see their scholarships, and then actually write down the deadline dates and when you're going to complete your application for that specific college. So you know that you're on top of everything that you need to do to get the application in and not be late. And also, I just want to specify that sometimes those scholarships, you apply for different scholarships, they all require different applications. So don't fill out one and think, oh, I've done all the scholarship applications I need to do for this particular college. No, you might have to apply to four different scholarships that are offered by the college, and you don't want to miss out on that opportunity again, because the college is saying, we want you to come. We want to provide some financial assistance for students that are coming to our university. So we're putting this out there. But as in life, they want you to meet the deadline. They want you to make sure that you put everything you can into the essays that might be required, or the interview. There may be an interview that you had to participate in for the scholarships that are offered by the college, but it's worth investing your time and effort with that as well. Be aware of scholarships that last 1 year. I just want to, just in terms of a creative way to look at the expenses of a college, make sure that you are aware of those scholarships that you're receiving that only last for 1 year, because once those scholarships are gone, you're going to have to make up the difference. And that could be a matter of $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 that suddenly you have to find on your own to replace, because the scholarship that you had was only for 1 year. And one of the things I always encourage students to do is, while they're in college, to apply for scholarships. So, you know, apply with, since you have a GPA, you had your first semester, your second semester, now you have a GPA, grade point average, you can use that as leverage in applying for the scholarships. But again, you have to be aware, you know, is the scholarship for 1 year or 2 years or 3 years? You want to be aware of that so you know where you stand at financially. And I guess as a person paying for college, you almost have to be a financial planner, or to have some, that person that can help you with your finances to kind of get good guidance and for you to make good decisions about how you're going to use that funding. Another thing that I've seen families do is start a GoFundMe account where they're putting in their own family funds to help certain students in their group of family to actually have access to money. So I've seen individuals do that. I've seen groups of families do that, start their own funds so that they can have money available to help students who are going to college or in college and, you know, struggling to make the payments. And that's so important, to have that additional funding available to help students with their supplies and resources to help cover the costs and expenses. And then certainly I'm always talking about applying for scholarships, but your high school may regularly be getting scholarship information. So you as a student have to consistently go down to the office, plan, maybe it's once a week, whatever that time frame is that you have in your schedule, to go down and talk with the counselor about any scholarships that are available, any things that have come up, any scholarships that the school, that your high school specifically offers that you can apply for, as well as outside scholarships that the counselors are receiving. They may have a table where they put information that they've gotten, and so you want to make sure that you're going to check to see if that if there's any new information about scholarships. And certainly, I've written a scholarship book called The Ultimate Scholarship Guide. If you are a principal of a school, you need funding for your high school students, you might want to get this book for several of your classes that are going to be going to college, or families, you can get this scholarship book for your individual student that needs to find scholarships. It helps the family to get started. And that's what was my goal in writing it, just to help families get started and find their way in identifying scholarships that might be available. Also, I want to mention that not all scholarships are merit-based scholarships. Some are based on your particular interests. It might be bowling, it might be art, it might be music, but there may be specific scholarships that are based on your talents and skills and abilities. So look for those, as well as the specific scholarships that do require your academics to be a part of it. Don't feel limited. Every week, apply for the various scholarships. You are the captain of finding this money. And it's kind of like, you know, proving to your parents that you can get it done, that you are committed, that this is the place you want to be, and you're going to do what's necessary to make it happen. Another thing that you can do is you can become a resident assistant. I've had several students become resident assistants while they're in college, and that pays for housing. So housing, and some colleges may pay for housing and meals if you're working as a resident assistant. So that's something to consider in your second year, especially if you know that, again, some of your funding is going to go away. This is a way to make up for that cost by being a resident assistant on a floor. You might have 20 different students or more on the floor, and you're making sure everyone's taken care of and any issues that come up, and you're engaging them on the floor. So it's a great way for you to get to know more students, but also support more students as they're going to get their education as well. So I've seen that really work for a number of my students in terms of cutting down on their costs. And one of the things you should definitely do is ask, is the potential debt worth it? You know, $60,000, $80,000, is it worth it in terms of the major that your child is in, and will they be able to get a living wage where they can actually pay for any of the loans and be able to live in a place that is, it's good for them. You know, maybe they're going to get an apartment. But can they afford it? Maybe they need a car. So all those things should be considerations when you look at the total debt of potential college. Another thing that you can do is go to community college for 2 years and then go to the more expensive college. That can save you, $40,000, $60,000, $100,000 by going to the community college for a couple of years first and then transferring into the four-year school. I think that's going to happen more and more as we go into the future. There'll be more partnerships between community colleges and the four-year schools as well. So that's something to, you know, be aware of. And then find out if your religious organization has scholarships, not only may the specific church or synagogue that you attend or mosque that you attend have scholarships, but their association of churches may have a larger scholarship that's offered by the association of those churches. So that's something to investigate. And really, this is all about you doing the research, you being aware of what all the costs are, being aware of what all the grants and scholarships and how they're coming in and their consistency. Are they yearly? Are they not yearly? And make a commitment as you're in college to continue to apply for a scholarship so that you don't get to the second year or the third year you don't have enough money because you just gave up on applying to scholarships that you actually could have won. So I hope that this has been beneficial to you. We're talking about creative ways to pay for an expensive college, and I believe that you can do it. And sometimes the expensive colleges will offer you more money than you would expect them to offer. So just be aware of that, that that's a possibility that they could give you more and that you can be successful. As I mentioned, you can go to my website at drjonesbooks.com to get the Ultimate Scholarship Guide. And also to reach me, you can go to stephenjoness@rcn.com, or you can call me. Specifically, I love for schools, principals, superintendents, they want resources or seminars on these topics that I've been doing, and I'd love to do that. You can reach me at 610-842-3843, and thank you all for listening.